scripture is Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1. You've heard this scripture many times. I know this is part of one of my mentors, Reverend Marks. This is the late Reverend Marks. This is one of his favorite scriptures. He used to talk about why stand ye here gazing. He used to talk to me about that. That was, I'm sure he had others, but I know that was one of his. Acts chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then I want to read a little bit of chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. If you have your Bible, Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it set upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. You shall have power. You shall have power. This is the beginning of the church. This is where we get our roots from. This is where the church is organized. Jesus had been crucified. You remember that terrible crucifixion and how they hung him on a cross and how they led him from courtroom to courtroom. And on that Friday when they crucified him, and you heard the seven last words that we have here every year, how he was crucified and then how he was dead and how he was buried and how he raised from the grave on Easter Sunday morning. The 12 disciples, you remember them. These are the men that Jesus had chosen to be his disciples, and they were with him for all 3 years of his ministry. They had seen Jesus do all kinds of miracles. They were there when he spoke to Jairus' daughter. They were there when he spoke to the winds and the waves. And they were expecting Jesus to do this miraculous political thing, and they were expecting for him to be the Messiah that will set them free politically. And lo and behold, Jesus is crucified, dead and raised. And here they are now, 11 of them, because one of them named Judas had committed suicide. And they are wandering around in some lowland of depression and sorrow and weakness. And they were feeling, I would imagine, very alone. And I can imagine that their hopes had been dashed. And lo and behold, Jesus shows up and ministers to them for 40 days.
He sees them in their lowest state, and he's raised from the dead, and he comes back to them, and he ministers to them, and he stays with them for 40 days. He talks to them, he ministers to them, and he says to them, "You shall receive power." He says, "In a few days you shall..." He'd already been with them for 40 days. And the Bible says in that second chapter, the first verse, it talked, Pentecost is 50 days from the resurrection. So they didn't look at somebody and say it took 50 days to get the power. 50 days. For 50 days they're struggling. They don't understand what's going on. They recognize that the one that they had put their hopes in had been killed. It looked like the power was in the political establishment. It looked like the power was in those who had the power to take his life. But then he came to minister to them for 50 days. And he told them, "Don't you leave Jerusalem until you get the power." Some of us want to leave too soon. Most of us don't want to wait 50 minutes. But they had to wait 50 days. I did a little calculation. 50 days is how many hours? 1,200 hours. 1,200 hours. They had to wait 1,200 hours. And most of us go to church about 2 hours a week if we go. So if you divide 2 into 1,200, that means that was 600 days for us. And considering the fact that most of us, some of us don't go to church but once a month, that means we spend 2 hours a month in fellowship with Jesus. That means if it's 2 hours a month, that means for 1 year we go to church one day. Out of 365, we give the Lord one. That means at 2 hours a day, in order to stay there as long as they stay there, we'd have to live 600 years. And then we wonder why we don't have no power. If you want power, you've got to tarry with the Lord sometimes. If you want power, you got to wait on the Lord sometimes. If you want power, you got to pray sometimes. You got to worship sometimes. Not sometimes. That's the problem right now. We got too many sometime Christians. They go to church when they feel like it. They go to prayer meeting when they're getting ready to go to surgery. They want everybody to pray for me, Pastor, because I'm getting ready to have surgery. What about praying when everything is all right? They want everybody to pray for them as soon as they lose their job. When somebody else is losing their job, they could care less. What about learning how to wait on the Lord for the power to come? Most of us live somewhere between Calvary and Pentecost. I read this somewhere. I like this. It says most church folk and most churches live between Calvary and Pentecost. We go to Calvary for pardon, but we don't go to Pentecost for power. You got to go to Pentecost if you want power. You got to learn how to tarry. And, you know, the old folks used to talk about tarrying and waiting on the Lord and the mourner's bench and... And, you know, I can remember they used to make us go to church and they used to make us, Deacon Burns, sit on the front row for weeks. And the only way you can move off that front row, you better join the church. You better hear something. You'd be sitting there, you'd be tarrying until you were 25 years old. And all of a sudden, about, you know, a year later, you'd be, "I think I feel something, Grandma. I think I feel something, right?" Next thing you know, you're being baptized. Now, I don't know whether I knew anything or not, but I know one thing. I was in church every single Sunday, whether I wanted to be in church or not, and it was sending up some timber, I'd like to think. Jesus says to them, he says, "You shall receive power." And you know, the problem of many of us is, we don't really believe we're going to receive any power. Many of us, we're in such a mess, we say, "Can't nobody get me out of this mess. I can't get myself out of this mess. My mama can't get me out of this. You know, we're good for calling mama. We get in a mess, we're going to call mama. But some of us, we got some messes. Mama can't get us out. Daddy can't get us out. We can't get ourselves out. You need some divine help. Do I have a witness in here? You need to have some faith. And I want you to know, I don't care what mess you got yourself into, I want you to know nothing is impossible for God. If you will just put it in the Master's hand, and if you will trust Him, and if you will wait on Him, and if you will tarry, and if you will come to worship, and if you will pray, and if you just wait, the Lord can make a way out of nowhere. Do I have a witness in what is impossible for man? I declare unto you, God can move. I have seen people in predicaments. Fact of the matter is, I have been in predicaments. And I didn't see how I was going to get out. I mean, I have seen people so sick, I said, I know they're leaving here. I know there's no way, you know, it looks bad. And don't you know the Lord stepped in? They are healthier than I am right now. They got everything in the world. They got cancer. They got diabetes. They got heart problems. And they still look good. They ain't got no health insurance, but they still look good. They ain't got much money in the bank, but they're still dressing good. Look at somebody and say, you don't know what's going on the inside. But if it had not been for God on my side, I never would have made it. But thanks be to God, I might be in bad shape for the shape I'm in, but God is still good. And I'm still here as a living testimony that God will send the power. Power to live. Power to survive. Power to change. Power to grow.
He says, Jesus comes to them at their weakest point. Jesus, how many of you know Jesus very often shows up at your weakest point? They were discouraged. And they had lost hope. I can imagine, you know, 12 of them. I bet you old Peter thought he was going to be vice president. When Jesus came into his kingdom, he was a big mouth one. Or maybe he thought he was going to be secretary of the military, because, you know, he took a switchblade all the time. He thought that when Jesus came into his kingdom, that all of them, you know, you remember when that argument broke out? When you come into your kingdom, I want to sit on your right, and I want to sit on your left. Remember that? They thought that he was going to be into this political kingdom, and now he's dead, and now he's been crucified, and he's raised. But they don't understand what this raised business means. They don't really understand what he's talking about, his kingdom. It's not the kingdom that they were planning for. And so he shows up at their weakest point, and he says, you shall have. When the Holy Ghost comes. What kind of power? Not political power. Not economic power. Not muscular power. What kind of power? Spiritual power. Power to bring joy out of sadness. Power to lift up a bowed down head. Power to have confidence that I can make it even though it looks bad. Power to have courage to speak when it seems impossible to have a positive word. Power. Power to make it. Power to survive. Look at somebody and say, I'm a survivor.
Things not like I want them to be, but I'm a survivor. I refuse to quit. I refuse to stop trusting in God. I believe the Lord will make a way somehow. I will trust in the Lord until I die. You can turn around if you want to. He brought me too far, and I refuse to turn around. You shall receive power. Dunamis power. Look at somebody say, I got some dynamite. Some spiritual dynamite. Dunamis. Explosive power. Jesus shows up to these 12. And what I like about it, when I did a little bit of research, sometimes you just have to read the text over and over and over and over and over again. And I read the same thing over and over. He told them, don't you leave this place. Go tarry in Jerusalem until the Holy Ghost comes. There's some power that you can't get by yourself. There's something about being in the congregation. Especially when you are low, especially when you are depressed, and especially when you don't seem to be able to get a word. There's something about being around other Christians that they can encourage you and they can put their arms around you. You know, sometimes you can ask people, well, how you doing? And we so used to say, I'm good. And your expression says, you know you're not good. But those people that know you will reach over and hug you and encourage you and say, there's something about your countenance, sister so-and-so. There's something about your countenance, brother. So I know your mouth saying you're good, but there's something going on. I just want to encourage you today. I want you to know that the Lord has got your back. I want you to know that God will make a way somehow. I want you to know that I believe in the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know that you are not by yourself. You've got a company keeper. You got the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit at work in you. I was reading this. I want to make sure I get it right. I like this. It says, Bethlehem means God with us. Calvary means God for us. But Pentecost means God in us. How many of you know that He's at work inside of you? And He's in work changing your mind. He's empowering your attitude. He's empower. How many of you know that He is a power at work in your spirit? He said, if He can work on your mind, if He can work on your soul, I like Reverend Hilton. She says He'll work it out. And all she said is there's something on the inside that's working it out on the outside, and He will empower you. How is it that you still survive? Now, that text, as I read it over and over again, it said they stayed together. The other thing I want to make sure you get, because we always talking about, you know, the 12, you know, actually it was only 11 of those disciples at that time, because one of them committed suicide, and then while they were up there in the upper room, they chose the 12th one to replace Judas. And his name was what? Matthias, all right? They chose him to replace Judas. But it wasn't just the 12. There were women. There was Mary, and there was the brothers and sisters of Jesus. And there was 120 of them. Look at somebody and say, there was women in the crowd. That's what I want you to get. There were women in the crowd, and they encouraged one another, and they prayed, and they stayed there, and they prayed for 50 days. And I know some of you men out there say, yeah, the women were cooking. That ain't what it said. Women were cleaning the house. That's why they were there. But that ain't what it says. They didn't say, you can let your mind go there if you want to. All I know is that they were there for 50 days, and on the 50th day, the power came. Wouldn't it have been a shame for them to give up on day 49? Wouldn't it have been a shame for them to quit 49 days and a half? Wouldn't it have been a shame for them to throw in the towel? Ain't no power coming. We're going to be depressed forever. But if you don't have Prozac, you got Jesus. If you just wait on him. I know some people right now that don't have enough money for Prozac, and they've been down low. But they kept on praying. You know, there's some people, I must admit, it bothers me sometimes when people act crazy in church. But it's a good place to be when you're crazy. I just thought I'd tell you, there's some people, and before you start letting your mind go somewhere, there's some crazy folk who don't know they're crazy. And they're the craziest ones of all. To be crazy and don't know you're crazy. I read this text. I can imagine, Deacon. I can imagine being shut up in an upper room for 50 days with 120 people would drive a saint crazy. And I'm not considering myself to be a saint. But whatever they did in that upper room, that they talked about, there were two sources of the power. How many of you know that fellowship can give you power? When you're out there all by yourself, one of the most dangerous things in the world is to be isolated from everybody else and think you got it all by yourself. You're in trouble when you separate yourself and when you isolate yourself and you think you got to handle it all by yourself. You cannot handle it by yourself. There's some things you need the church for. You need somebody praying for you. You need somebody encouraging you. You need somebody lifting you up. You need somebody interceding for you, knowing that you can make it. Thanks be to God that they stayed in the room. Yes, yes,
yes. Many of you know that I take yoga. I take the hot yoga, and it's 105 degrees in the room. And the first requirement they tell you, stay in the room. First day you go, it's so hot, it tells me I definitely don't want to go to hell. If it's any hotter than 105 degrees in hell, I don't want to go. And they tell you, stay in the room. Whatever you do, stay. If it gets hot, lay down, but stay in the room. If it gets red, gets too hot and you can't get your breath, it's cooler down on the floor. Lay down, but for God's sake, don't walk out of the room. Because if you walk out of the room and you come back in the room, it's hotter still. Sometimes life gets so difficult, you want to quit on God, but stay in the room. Sometimes you're in church and it feels like things were better when you're out there in the world, but for God's sake, stay in the room. Because when God gets ready to move in your life, he can change it in a second. He can fix it in an instant. Do I have a witness in the house? And I just thank God that those 120 people, I don't know what they went through in that upper room, but they stayed in the room for 50 long days. They were praying, and one day the power failed.
You know, every now and then there's a power outage. We had a storm not long ago, and we were out of our house for a week. Rain and rain. Our sun pump didn't work. People be asking me, you've been in that house? Have you ever had a flood before? I say, you know what? Everything is fine as long as the power's on. It's a terrible thing to have power available and you refuse to plug in.
Vacuum cleaners don't work until you plug them in. Dishwashers don't work till you turn them on. Look at somebody and say, you got to turn it on. The Holy Spirit is available to you, but you've got to plug yourself into it. You've got to pray. You've got to worship. You've got to stay in the room. You've got to wait on the Lord. And when the Lord gets ready, the Lord will release the power to change your life and to change your circumstances. But for God's sake, if it's available to you, turn it on. Plug it in. Wait on the Lord.
Jesus says to him, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Look at somebody and say, that means at home. You shall be my witness at home. You shall act holy at home. You shall act holy around your family in South Carolina. You shall act. Then you should be my witnesses, not in, only in Jerusalem, but in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the world. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, gives you confidence. How many of you could use a little more confidence? I heard some testimonies today, and I'm looking at some faces today. Some people I know pretty good, and I can see some that's a little weary right now. How many know that life can wear you down? You can be strong, but you have your moments when you need. That's why the Bible says, do not forsake the assembly of God, because everybody needs to be in the assembly every now and then, because I'm looking at people who've been where you are, and they are overcomers, they are achievers. They've been down, but the Lord picked them up again. And if he picked them up, how many of you know he'll pick you up again, and he can turn you around, and then you'll have a song to sing.
Says, I think it was last Sunday, preacher Reverend Zach, he told people to shut up for 90 days. I ain't going to tell you to shut up. I'm just going to tell you to stay in the room for 50. Stay in the room for 50. Whatever you got to do. You know, if you don't want to sit up front, sit in the back. You want to sit in the middle, you want to sit on the right. You know how church folk are. We all sit the same place. I figured this is the new balcony over here. You don't have a balcony. People will create a balcony. Young people know how to create a balcony. You know, deacons, they don't normally sit right here. Trustees right here. But, you know, if you don't feel like, you know, I've seen some of the deaconess in particular, you know, the drums were too loud for them. They moved to the back. But if they move to the back, I don't care. Stay in the room. Because the Lord can reach you in the back just like he can up front. Just stay in the room. Whatever you do, for God's sake, don't you go out of that door. You stay in the room.
What's that old song they used to sing years ago? Come on in the room. Got all your, you know I don't know the word, got all your medicine in the room. Help me out with the word. You know. Come on in the room. Writes out all your scriptures in the room. Whatever you're going through, stay in the room at least for 50 days. God help you if you were one of those once a month, 2 hour Christians complaining because you got no power. You don't need no power. Because you think all your power is in your education. You think all your power is in your money. You think all your power is in your physique. You think all your power is in your figure. You think all your power is in your muscles. That ain't no power. That's weakness. You need some dunamis. He's got the whole power of the world in his hands. In his hands, he's got you and me, brother. He's got you and me, sister. I just need a little bit of dunamis that can lift my spirits.
give me confidence.
You know, sometimes people can mess with your confidence.